I don't have that much left of this message. We will finish it today. This is our fourth part of this message. In this message, we have looked at the world and Christians. We are not to be mixing. The Lord tells us to come out from among them and be separate. The Lord tells us as Christians to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, and do all things that we do in the Spirit. That is the Word of God. Because the Spirit of God wrote the Word of God. It never fails to just dumbfound me. And maybe I'm being too hard on some people. How then a person can be saved and care less about the Lord. So much so that they won't even walk into a church building. It's like you live on this earth and you will not walk into the kitchen table to have a meal. You won't go anywhere and eat because you're not eating. You're not nourishing yourself. The Lord told us that you can tell a tree by its fruit. I find it hard to find fruits in some people who call themselves Christians. And some of them I find very few fruits at all. I think a lot of times we have failed to realize what it is to be a Christian. I know it's easy to get involved with the world again. We work in it, we live in it, we eat in it, we shop in it. Everything we do is in this world because that's where we're at. But as Christians, we must separate ourselves from the world. What's good for them is not good for us. We are the property of the Lord. Jesus Christ bought and paid for us on Calvary. So the purpose of this message is threefold. One, to show the difference in the world and the Christians. Two, to show the world by itself, and here tonight to finish it with the Christians. To show you that we are different. They're not even guilty. They're not guilty. But they don't even have to worry about satisfying God. They don't have to worry about doing any of the laws of God. That's not what they're going to be judged by. They're condemned because they don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Listen closely to Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, listen, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Listen, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son. In whom being Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So everything here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 4 through 14 is God's grace to us. It's what God hath done for us to save our souls. It's what Jesus done for us to save our souls. And yet some people that call themselves Christians could care less. Listen, anyone who has an issue with one of the Lord's churches needs to go talk to the church. They need to get that straightened out. We're not going to live forever on this earth. One day we're going to all die. One day, Jesus is coming back. The trimming of the lamps is today. It's right now. We must trim our lamps and be ready for the coming of the Lord because He's coming. A lot of people are going to be sad when they die. They are. Oh, no, I'll be happy to be in heaven. Yes, you will. But you're not going to have the rewards that others have. If you're not a good member of the Lord's church, you'll not be part of the bride. This old cliche that everybody's part of the church, no, they're not. Because the church is not universal, invisible. It's a local New Testament institution. And you have to be within good standings of the church. You have to be in good standings with the Lord, which makes you in good standings with the church. Jesus said, or God said through Jesus here, who had delivered us from the power of darkness. Remember? Jesus, we were translated. God transferred us from Satan in darkness to Jesus in light. So we were transferred. And therefore, he says, he hath delivered us from the power of darkness. God has delivered us because it's impossible for us to deliver ourselves. So God graciously delivered you and I from the power of darkness. Darkness and blindness are defined as moral and spiritual darkness. Moral and spiritual darkness. As the lost are blinded by Satan and sin, mankind is in the darkness of sin and ignorance. Dead in trespasses and sins, at war and enmity with God, and they cannot spiritually see what Christians see in Christ and the Bible. Therefore, they hate the Word of God. And that's the reason they hate God. Because they hate God whom they find in the Bible. God is sovereign in the Bible, and they hate the sovereignty of God. So they read it, and they get what they get out of it. And what they get is wrong. But it's all they understand. It's all they see. They can't see or nor understand the truth of God's Word because they're blinded. So he started all these religious institutions, they call them churches, and they don't comprehend the Word of God. They can't even see God for whom He is. They can't even see Jesus for whom He is. And neither could we if it wasn't for the grace of God. He went on to say that God has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. Boy, what's that all mean? Where's he going with all that? Well, I'm going to tell you where he's going with all this. Not only has he delivered us from the power of darkness, he made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. As God's elect, we are partakers. We are partakers because God chose us. He made us partakers. Chose us into a lot. Chose us into a fold. Chose us to be His children. And we're all in that same lot. We're all in that same fold. All the children of God. Of the inheritance of light. God has chosen to set us into His lot or His fold of believers. That is our inheritance. Inheritance doesn't mean God's going to die and leave us all the things He has. It means that we have inherited something through the Lord Jesus Christ because God had chosen to give it to us. Brother Weest, W-E-S-T, has a word studies, and I like it. I don't know much about Brother Weest. My little younger brother, Kenny, used to study him a lot. and loved him, and I've studied him a little bit. I love him too, what I've studied on him. Some people may not like him, that's fine. I don't know anything about him. But these are his words. The lot of the saints, namely, that which was determined upon the saints, is future blessings. Not only in the future life, but also here on earth. That's our inheritance. That's our lot. That's what God has chosen for us before the foundation of the world. That's exactly what he's talking about. And we benefit from it, from his own on this earth, and not only on this earth, in heaven that we're going to be in one day. But not only in it, but also here on earth. We are a part of God's inheritance because you're sitting in the house of God tonight being fed. That's your lot. That's your inheritance that God has given to you. Inheritance is what God has given to us. And that's what God has given to us. Everything. Everything God has given to us. All of it is by grace. All of it is by mercy. It's just like Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Everything I am, God made me. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be anything, Paul said. And God gave me grace, and I didn't waste it either, Paul said. Apparently some did, and a bunch apparently are today. Go to Proverbs chapter 4, if you will. In Proverbs chapter 4, the Lord said, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The path, do you hear it? The path of the just is as the shining light. Let your light so shine. You have the light of God in you. In every part of you, everything about you. Jesus said to let your light so shine. Be like a light sitting up on the hilltop, where people can see it shining. You can't do that if you're acting like the world. You can't do that if you can't tell the difference between a saved person and a lost person. How can you be walking in light, standing in light, living in light? How can your light be shining if you're not even in church? That eliminates, you have to overlook those that can't come. A lot of people can't go to church. I pray to God I never get in that position, but may someday some good Christians are. But I'm talking about those that are supposed to be walking in this world, letting their light so shine. And I hate to say this, but it's the truth. The Lord said you can tell a tree by its fruit. A lot of Christians don't have any fruit. When the world can't tell, there's something about you different. When the world don't literally hate you, because they will if you're a Christian, if you're the right Christian, they will hate you because you live for the Lord. Lord said they will hate you because they hate me. But they're not going to hate you. Listen, they're not going to hate you if you're going along with them. If you're okay with the things they're okay with. A lot of Christians say, well, I don't want to tell people what I believe. Why not? Because they'll hate me if I do. Yes, they will. That is the purpose of being a Christian. That is the purpose of your light shining among darkness. For those in darkness to see the light that is in you. What did Jesus say? The Lord said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of any of the word of God. I'm not ashamed of any of the doctrines. I'll tell them to anybody. I'll post them on Facebook. I'll write little articles, go with it. I don't care if they like it. I don't care if they spit on it. I don't care if they delete me. I don't care. It's not my problem. But they cannot stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day and say, I did not know. Because you have heard. Galatians chapter 5. Second, we are to live holy lives and walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and 17, he said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why are Christians fulfilling the lust of the flesh? Because they're not walking in the Spirit. And what did the Lord say in 1 John 1, 7? He said, if you're walking in the light as I am in the light, have fellowship. So if you're not walking in the Spirit, then you're not having fellowship with the Lord. For the flesh lusts against the things of the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Why? Because you're a new creature. You have a whole new nature. You have a whole new responsibility as Christians. You're supposed to be walking for the Lord. You're supposed to be doing for the Lord. You're supposed to be helping people. You're supposed to be nice to people. You're supposed to be loving people. You're supposed to be teaching people. Hopefully some of them be saved. That's what we're supposed to be doing. The key thing in our hearts every day is the Lord. Everything is about the Lord. Every part of our life, all of our life, every bit of it, is about the Lord. We are not our own. We are bought and paid for with a price. We now belong as a purchased possession of the Lord. You're in Galatians 5. Stay there. And fall down to verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. They that are of Christ have crucified the flesh. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, or envying one another. And he goes on. Those are things we do not do anymore. Don't let them be a part of your life. None of us are to walk according to the flesh anymore. The flesh is contrary to whom we are. The flesh is contrary to the Lord. It is at enmity with God. There's a hatred there on both sides. God hates the lost and the lost hate God. He's going to put them in hell for all eternity. He's not going to bat an eye. He's not going to feel bad. He's not going to feel sorry. He's not going to feel guilty when he puts each and every one of them into whatever part of hell he has chosen for them, with Satan and his angels being in the hottest part. Let's go to Acts chapter 26. This is a conversation repeated from Saul, or from Paul, as Jesus talked to Saul of Tarsus, as he saved his unworthy soul and made him an apostle, sending him to the Gentiles with these words. Paul was a great witness to us, wasn't he? You have to realize who and what Paul was as Saul of Tarsus to understand where he was in the world. He went against everything he was raised, everything he taught, everything he knew as a human being. Saul of Tarsus, when he was converted by the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was saved on that trail, he was totally changed. So were we. But he also not only became a great man, not only became a great servant of God, not only became a great teacher of the Lord's word and the Lord, but he became a great example for all of us. Christians can't just forget what we were. We have to remember what we once were, what we are today, by the grace of God, to appreciate it. So in verse 15 of Acts 26, Paul wrote these words, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet. Listen, for I have appeared unto thee for a purpose." Not for no purpose, but for a purpose, right? Lord appeared unto you for a purpose too. What's your purpose? "To make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things which in the which I will appear unto thee. Delivering thee," listen, "delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I stand, I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." He's a great witness for the Lord. And he stood on that ground. He loved being there. He loved to be an example for us, example for those in his day. He's still a great example. Look what he was. Look what the Lord made him. He wasn't what we were. He was literally a hater of Jesus Christ. Very religious. He was no different than a Muslim, a Buddhist, Islamist. No different than Mormons, or no different than any others out there. None of them believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Not a one of them. The believer, our last point is this. The believer is to be thankful to God. That means to be his child and servant. Because we thank him. We love the Lord for what he's done for us. What he's given to us. The inheritance that he has given to us. The position in life he has given to us. The time that we live in. So we thank God for the trials, tribulations, persecutions, and life. We don't sit around and cry for them. When Paul and Silas were put into jail and they were bound and bound in that jail, they didn't cry and moan. They sang and praised God and prayed. Psalms chapter 71, verse 8. This should be our prayer to God. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and thy honor all the day. That should be our prayer. You know, we ought to pray to God that we are good people, that we are good Christians, that we do well in church, that we understand his word, that we're walking in his word, that we're walking in the Spirit, that we're walking in the light. We need to pray to God if there's anything among us or anything in our life causing a conflict with the Lord, we ought to pray to God that he will remove it. The Lord says, if your eye offend thee, pluck it out. If your finger offends you, cut it off. And we should pray to God that he rescues us from anything evil in our lives. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance. You know what substance is? That's your money. No, that's everything about you. Anything you have in your life is substance. You have a voice. You have a talent. That substance that God has given you should be to honor the Lord with. And with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall be burst out with a new wine. Do you believe that? Do we all believe that? Do we believe that if we do what God tells us to do, that God's going to give us truly many blessings? Look at Job's sacrifice and look what he got. Psalm 63, verse 4. Thus I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Now, the lifting up of hands here is not Pentecostalism. In fact, if you turn over to the book of Psalms, chapter 28, and we'll read verse 2, the Lord said these words, hear the voice of my supplications, that's my prayers. When I cry unto thee, I will lift up my hands toward thy holy order. So it is a gesture of prayer, the lifting up of your hands. It's not holiness. It's not all this shaking and rolling stuff. Don't get excited. It's not all going to start being Pentecostals and rolling down the aisles and waving. Lifting up your hands is prayer. Oh, Lord, help me. Give me the ability to walk in your righteousness, Lord. Lord, I beg of thee to keep me from doing evil. Keep me from doing the wicked works of the world. Keep me as a light, bright light, Lord. That's what the Lord's talking about. asking the Lord for his graces and mercies to make you walk in an upright way. Two more scriptures real quickly. Psalms 134. And then we're going to Lamentations 3. Psalms 134. And we'll end with Lamentations 3. In Psalms 134, verse 2, he says, lift up your hands in the sanctuaries and bless the Lord. But not just our hands, but also our hearts, our voices. Lift up every part of our being and praise and honor and glorify the Lord our God. Because we are only workers of righteous fruits, because God hath made us thus. We are only walkers in the Spirit, because God hath made us thus. Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 41. Let us lift up our hearts, not just our hands, but also our hearts. Let our hands lift up our hearts with our hands unto God in the heavens. Lift it all up. Give God everything we have. Because it's His. Why did God save us? To praise His holy name. To bring glory and honor unto Him. Not to satisfy the flesh, not to satisfy ourselves. We're irrelevant. If God wants our life, we say, Lord, here I am. Come and take me. As pastors and ministers and missionaries, we say, Lord, tell me where to go and I will go. He sent me here. In a few days, it'll be 24 years I'll be here. He sent me here. I'm still here today. Lift up your hearts with our hands unto God in the heavens. Don't fall back in with the world. That's not what we do as Christians. We're here to serve the Lord with every ounce of our being. If you hear this message, whether it's on Facebook or our website, go to church. If you're out of church, talk to them. Get back in. There's not an institution, there's not anything on this earth more than you will do for the Lord than to get yourself in church. If you're a Christian, you haven't been baptized, come, let's baptize you. Make you part of our church. We will teach you. We will bring you upright. Whatever you do as Christians, leave the world. They're not your friends. They hate you. Sacrifice whatever you had to sacrifice for the Lord. Let's all stand. I'm going to ask Larry to dismiss his word for us.